Something wicked is coming this way, and only fools are ignoring the signs. So it's time you became a financial prepper like thousands of others. Gold can travel anywhere. It's international. It's its own currency. Allocate to gold now, the timeless safe haven asset. Open an IRA with Noble Gold Investments to physically hold coins and bars, and let real, tangible gold, not just paper, save your portfolio as the economy burns again. Right now, Noble Gold Investments offers a free 3-ounce silver American Virtue coin with every qualified IRA. Just use the promo code GOLD to claim your free coin and secure your family's financial future. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com now. NobleGoldInvestments.com.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
Actions, statements, or opinions of its guests, advertisers, or even its viewers. The information contained in this program is not to be construed as medical or legal advice. An appearance on this platform is not necessarily an endorsement, but as always, we encourage you to do your own research. Enjoy the show.
Boom.
Good afternoon, Patriots, and welcome back to another episode of Occam's Razor. Hope you guys are having a lovely day. Welcome back to the program on this and every Thursday, bringing you the day's hottest stories. Of course, we've got new details on the Igor Danchenko trial and the malfeasance of the FBI that is being uncovered. Some arrests happened yesterday in the Kerch Strait bridge bombing. Looks like PayPal is on damage control. I know many of you who still had PayPal accounts have completely deleted them. Don't stop deleting them. I want to put PayPal out of business, but that's just me. Do me a favor, don't forget to like and share the broadcast. Help us by getting it out there on your favorite social media platform. Oh yeah, we've also got word of a new quid pro quo arrangement that's been revealed in the Biden crime family. Not surprising. All right, do me a favor. Sit back, relax, and grab your popcorn because we're going to be right back after this. All right, welcome to the program, everyone. Thank you so much for being here. Don't forget to hit that plus sign, hit that red pill, tap those hearts over there on Getter, wherever you're at. Help us out by liking the program, sharing it out there for us. And please join me in welcoming my co-host on this and every Thursday, Al Kaelin of Uncensored Abe. Abe, what's going on, buddy?
Bro, it's good to see you again, man. I always look forward to Thursdays. And I know, you know, you and your audience have been somewhat patient with me during a very difficult time in my life. And I appreciate all you guys out there with your thoughts, loves, and prayers and reaching out to Zach and I and everyone around. Just, hey, is everyone always able? Okay. And your guys' concern and you've noticed that something's been off with me. And I haven't been able to talk about it. So it's been really difficult to try to continue to do what I love and my career while this has been happening. And when I return from the pit, this has been released public now, so I can talk a little bit about it. When I got back from the pit, after 29 years, I was blindsided by the fact that my wife decided to move on and she had given up on me and she had filed for divorce. So for about a month, she has had people in her ear telling her the best way to handle this, given that I am a dangerous domestic terrorist. So it has been the worst and hardest way possible to go through this. And it didn't have to be this way. But unfortunately, it just sort of is this way. And the hardest part about all of this is, as you guys know, you know, this is my career. This is what I love to do. And this is also what helps me pay a lot of bills that I have every month. And so when you're kind of put into a situation where everything is put at risk, you kind of have to tell people listen, I have to rely on you. I need you guys to help me through this because honestly, I don't have anybody else. I don't, everything was just pulled out from underneath me and my life was thrown into what could potentially destroy me. So my only option was to come to you guys as this family, this amazing group of patriots and say, look, I need to lean on you guys during this time. And you guys have just absolutely come through. You've kept me off the streets. You've kept a roof over my head. You've kept enough food on the table. And even to a point now where I have a temporary apartment that I have signed a lease on, and I will be moving my studio tomorrow, and I will be back into hopefully full gear on Monday. So during this difficult time, it has been the most challenging of mine of all my lifetime. I have been completely blindsided by the person that I thought was with me and saw and understood what we were doing here. And instead, it's all changed. So in the meantime, guys, thank you for everything. I can't say enough to all you guys. Without you, I may be another veteran statistic. This has been the most difficult time of my life. And in the meantime, my commitment to all of you guys out there is to continue to get back to what bringing you guys the best and commentary and content that I can provide to you and your audience. So thank you for your thoughts, loves, and prayers during this time. Please keep them coming. And again, I could potentially lose everything over this. So if you guys can help in any kind of way, please do so. Thank you all very much, Zach.
All right, Abe. Well, you know, we love you, and we hate to see you suffering. We hate to see you going through it. I know a lot of us have been through the same thing, but you know, at the end of the day, you will persevere. God is going to take care of you, and we're going to continue the business of saving America. So thank you for being here with us. I do appreciate it. You know, I wanted to start off today, Abe, with a brief discussion on the Igor Danchenko trial, because, you know, you and I haven't had a chance to talk about it since it began this week. You know, so my perspective is because essentially all we've gotten really so far is the testimony of Brian Auten, counterintelligence special agent Brian Auten, who is directly connected to virtually every data point on the plot to destroy President Trump. You know, he's the one who rubber stamped the dossier. He interviewed Igor Danchenko back on January in 2017, with the exact same day that they performed the hostile interview on General Flynn. So that to me looks like they sent their guys out all at the same time to cover all their ducks. We're going to entrap Flynn. We're going to get Danchenko and get whatever data we can. And we're going to try to wrap this thing up at the beginning of the Trump administration. And then once that didn't work, Hunter Biden laptop comes out. He performs the duty of writing that Russia disinformation memo on the memo back in 2020. And then he spearheaded the raid on President Trump's Mar-a-Lago estate. You know, to me, I think Brian Auten is extremely important in this whole thing. And I think that from the line of questioning that Durham is going down with him, he's not treating him like a typical government witness. I mean, he's more like a hostile witness. I wonder what you're seeing, because to me, it looks like Brian Auten represents the very culmination of the malfeasance and the corruption that we see at the FBI. And I think I'm hoping that Durham is attempting to use him to draw that out.
Yeah, I think at the very least, right, he's going to get Danchenko on the lies. So I think in that aspect, Durham's using him very well. And he's also getting some other information put out there about bribes and things like that. I want to speculate.
Okay, go ahead.
So let's go back to the very beginning when I guess you got Obama, Hillary, Brennan, Elias, and probably a couple others, Dolan, mm-hmm. maybe, in a room going, all right, we can't have Trump. What are we going to do? And so they're planning this, and they're like, all right, well, Hillary's like, all right, well, I got these Russian assets that you know, I've been working with for a while with Putin, and we've been doing pretty good at uranium and, you know, some trafficking things and some other stuff going on, especially weapons trafficking going into the Middle East and stuff like that. We've been doing really good in Syria, things like that, at effectively getting weapons into the Middle East to make sure we keep these wars going. So I have some assets there in Russia. Maybe we could reach out to some of them and have them see if we could get some kind of evidence put together. And then at some point, the FBI is like, huh, Every other department in the FBI looked at this evidence and went, I ain't touching that with a 10-foot pole. But everyone in the counterintelligence division looked at it and went, I'll tell you what, man, if you want to go back to that bar over there and give that guy some more vodka and prove this for $1 million, I think we'll be good. I mean, the idea of going from a plan somewhere in some room, you know, those high level people were sitting there talking about how they're going to take Trump off. They're going, I'm going to need another shot of vodka in the bar here to talk about this. Natalia, give me another shot. I mean, that whole concept just is hilarious to me because it's like the Keystone Cops, bro.
right. Yeah, you know, to me, the idea that the FBI would be willing to pay Christopher Steele $1 million, I mean, that's quite the worm to be dangling in his face. I think that they were aware that there was no way Steele was going to be able to substantiate all those rumors in there. Doesn't matter who was saying it, Danchenko or otherwise. But by placing $1 million bounty in front of his face, that's almost like daring him to come up with the information, to come up with some sort of substantiation. Because, I mean, think about the claims that were in that. I mean, how were they supposed to make any of that a reality? I mean, aside from coming up with a deep fake tape of President Trump getting peed on in that Moscow hotel, I mean, there's just really no way that stuff is going to be able to be substantiated. It's all rumor. It's all innuendo. But people have done a lot less for a lot less money. So to come up with something that backs up the data in the dossier for $1 million, I'm wondering if Christopher Steele didn't realize that if he did something like that, that would be a far different game than just turning in a book report with a bunch of rumors in it. You know, he takes that $1 million. Yeah. He actually, you know what I mean? I mean, like,
that's such a great description of book report.
So if he were to, you know, find additional people to make the same claims, you know, I mean, come to them and be like, listen, I'll give you $10,000 if you just say the same thing Igor Danchenko said. You know, I mean, you have like two or three people kind of whispering the same rumors, and the FBI would probably look at that as enough to say, you know, okay, this is substantiated. Because, I mean, you know, think what they did before. I mean, they took rumors. They pushed them out to their favorite Mockingbird reporters. They had them report on it. And then they used that reporting, knowing that they're the ones who gave the information out to these reporters. And they used that to go to the FISA court. I mean, the FBI has worked with a lot less. So $1 million, I'm actually really surprised that Christopher Steele didn't come up with something to at least take that money.
Oh, he did. He came up with Yahoo News and New York Times created a wrap-up smear then the FBI used as corroborating evidence of a, I don't know, a book report. But here's the thing, man. Like, that's the side of this that I'm almost with Emerald and others on at this point with Durham, because there's so much more bigger stuff here that we could be talking about than Danchenko lying to the FBI. It isn't that he necessarily lied to the FBI. It's they were all creating this false plan and trying to cover it up. And this is evidence. What really this is beyond the lying. Is this is the evidence of the beginning of the cover up scheme. Mm-hmm. You know, the $1 million buy off. He's a source. He's not a source. We'll protect him by hiding him over here. That all of that stuff all is evidence of the bigger picture of a criminal conspiracy.
I agree.
You know, that criminal conspiracy goes global. It goes into the media. It goes to Five Eyes. It goes into the Vatican. It goes into all intelligence agencies all around the world. And we're talking about Charles Dolan, which is a key point of all of this. Don't get me wrong.
He's a big Democrat, you know. I mean, he's got high connections.
The picture of things, I mean, come on. Can we move it along here a little bit, bud?
So here's what I am hoping is happening and what I see as a possibility. So yes, obviously lying to the FBI, it's small potatoes in the grand scheme of things, just as you pointed out. You know, Igor Danchenko claimed that him and Charles Dolan had no relationship, okay, that they were not in contact with each other. We know that they were. So my question is, what relationship was Igor Danchenko attempting to hide from the FBI? Where does that lead to? And what is that covering up at the end of the day? And I think that the prosecution of Igor Danchenko is going to be able to lead to that. I think that as he is a Russian, and as the Russia, Russia, Russia narrative is the biggest story out there, Russia is the number one adversary to the United States per the Democrats. The DOJ is necessarily going to have to go harder against Igor Danchenko than they would a Kevin Kleinsmith. He doesn't work for the FBI. Okay. Yeah, he was a confidential human source. You know, it was on the payroll for a couple of years. But at the end of the day, he's a Russian and he's not working for the FBI currently. So he's facing 25 years. If they stack his charges, he gets 25 years, $50,000 he's got to pay off. The man's going to be ruined. Maybe they're going to prosecute Igor Danchenko to the fullest extent of the law because of his national origin, because then he could be a bargaining chip for the Russians, because then Igor Danchenko would be willing to give up more information than he has up until this point. And that's where I think the important stuff is going to come in, specifically Charles Dolan and anybody else that goes further and further into the Democrat machine. That's really where I'm hoping this is going to go. So, you know, yeah, small potatoes with lying to the FBI, but we've got additional roads that can be taken once we get to the conclusion of this trial. And don't forget, there are a number of different people who has still yet to testify. Brian Auten's just the beginning of the program. Sergey Milyon, he's a Russian oligarch. He's got connections, okay? He had no relationship with Igor Danchenko, but Igor was desperate to create that association. So he couldn't create the association with Milyon. He had an association with Dolan, Democrat, big guy, that he couldn't hide, that he couldn't cover up, and the government's now going after it. So, you know, this is just like everything else for me. You know, yeah. People want it now. They want to know what's going on. They want to be able to decipher and decode it immediately, but you can't. This is on God's time. We just got to watch it all play out.
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, I'm staying as patient and as optimistic as possible, but it's just like, man, when you know Sergey Milyon actually ties into Dearlov, right, and into other, you know, Australian foreign intelligence, right? I mean, there's Milyon is a key piece of this that brings in all of these other intelligence agencies. And so I'm with you. And I like Spirit's comment. Durham's cutting the tree down from the bottom top. I appreciate that comment, Spirit. Go. And as well as old Rusty, Russia as a country is not our enemy. Yes, Russians are just as brainwashed and stupid as Americans. I'm with you.
There we go. So what I'm also very interested to learn is, you know, now that we've learned that Igor Danchenko had an immunity deal with the FBI, I want to know who made that immunity deal with him, what the circumstances of it were, and under what circumstances was it removed? You know, was it Durham filing charges against him that
pulled it? Must have been a higher loyalty.
Yeah, you know, I mean, there's a number of different ways this could play out, you know, so we'll have to see on that one. But
is that why Comey was fired? Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, that could be, you know, I mean, James Comey could be very, very closely tied to this. But I think, you know, again, we've got a number of interesting things that are sure to come out of this trial. Also, I want to switch gears now. I want to talk about the bombing of the Kerch Strait Bridge, because Russia was able to put together a damning dossier detailing the exact movements of that truck bomb. They have X-rays that they took of it. They presented a map showing that it originated in Ukraine. Went all the way around Europe, down through Turkey, up through Georgia, and then into Russia, and then back through the Kerch Strait Bridge to evidently blow up and destroy that $3 billion infrastructure project. Now, of course, the Ukrainians are denying any part in this, but Russia has made arrests. They've arrested 8 people that are associated with the send-off of that truck. So, you know, the Russians don't play around, Abe. I mean, they're not afraid to stick some bamboo shoots up somebody's fingernails. I mean, they will take this to its logical conclusion and they'll get as much information out of these guys as possible. And if they want them to say the Ukrainians were involved, they're going to. But I don't even think that it's going to be necessary to force that out of them. I mean, these 8 people are either very dedicated to the Ukrainian mission. They're steeled as hard as you can possibly be, or they're going to be willing to bargain for their own life and to say what they need to say to get it off their chest. But I think that what's going to come of these arrests are probably going to lead to some very damning information. And I would not be surprised if our own U.S. intelligence agencies help to the plotting and planning of this bomb attack, because we know that they have a presence in Ukraine.
Well, you know, our State Department's been really good at doing stuff like this for a long time, and our intelligence agencies have been used to force wars for a long time. So, you know, I'm with Russia there, but Russia's media and foreign liaisons or whatever are probably the most effective propagandists in the history of propaganda.
Sure.
So, anything that comes out of Russia's foreign ministry, the first thing that I think of is all of this is complete propaganda. And if you don't think that way, then you're missing a key point of war. Number two, beyond that, Kebona, who benefits from this bombing? And, you know, I don't want to say that Russia would use their Georgian forces or these other militant forces in Syria that they've been using, or these other what was the other group of forces they had brought in from the Istans or somewhere? I can't remember. They brought some
Kazakhstan, probably.
Yeah, militant forces in to fight and stuff as too. So, you know, there's so much movement on the ground with different groups and different forces and different even terrorist activities that there could be any number of people who would have caused this. And every time I see Russia, the first thing they do is completely blame straight the United States every single time there is anything done. And then the other side of that is you see American intelligence blaming the USA for anything that's done. So I don't know what to think. I have been staying out of OSINT with the Ukraine-Russia thing from the beginning because right off the bat, the propaganda became straight through the roof. So there's no way to really know what's happening.
No, you're right. You're right.
You know what I'm saying? So I kind of stay out of it all. But that said, we know damn well that somebody is trying to push us into war all around the world. And I think that the fact that we haven't gone into an escalation and this is still kind of a proxy war, I think says a lot about President Trump's deep state. I'll just call it that.
Right, right. So, you know, to be fair, anything that's coming directly as a mouthpiece from any government on planet Earth, I immediately believe that it's highly propagandized. I mean, any nation is not going to give information that presents themselves or their own actions in a negative light. They're always going to try to pin it on somebody else. There always is going to be this deflection. You know, I think that, you know, what can we say for certain? Certainly U.S. and intelligence for the United States has been staging in Ukraine for many, many years. They have trained many different insurgent forces there. NATO obviously has a heavy presence there in and around the Baltic states. Russia obviously is going to have a presence because they're trying to defend their own homeland. But I don't think that Russia benefits from the blowing up of their own infrastructure. I feel like that is, you know, straight from the U.S. State Department. And I think that Ukraine would be the one that stands to benefit, at least in the short term, because it weakens Russia in terms of the battle that they're currently engaged in. But at the end of the day, NATO is going to benefit the most because it pits Russia against all of these aligned NATO forces. So, I think it's the United States on its own? Absolutely not. I mean, all of these things are happening as, I guess, kind of a collaborative effort. I certainly believe the United States has got some part to play in the actions that are taking place over there. But I think that it's a lot of different bodies that are happening all at the same time, probably being led by NATO, because NATO is the organization boots on the ground that's over there right now.
Yeah, you have the best chat out there. You guys hit that plus button over there on Rumble and the red pill over there on the Foxhole. You guys are just, I love you guys so much. You guys have no idea what you mean to people like me with your feedback and your comments and, you know, the Chechens comments for just one nailing it. You have the most informed audience and great people out there. I love you guys so much. You guys have no idea what you guys mean to me. Truth, my friends, is the first consequence of war. Never forget that.
Yep, absolutely. All right, so speaking of truth, I wanted to...
It's the first casualty of war.
Casualty of war, you're right. Okay, but speaking of truth, I did also want to comment on the situation with PayPal, because I'm sure you saw this, Abe. They came up with this announcement that they had planned to change their terms of service to fine individual PayPal users $2,500 per offense of spreading what they deemed to be misinformation, like no specifics, just blank, carte blanche, rather, if they believed that you off platform had been spreading misinformation, then you would be fined $2,500 per instance from your PayPal account. So that is an immediate cooling effect on free speech for any business or any individual that has a PayPal account and is doing any transactions through PayPal. Yeah. What?
Could you source this, the original release? Because I tried to source the original release on this, and I found only rumor. So maybe I didn't dig deep enough, but did you find a official PayPal source on this?
I actually did, yes. Hold on just a second. Let me see if I can...
I appreciate it, because I tried to do the dig on it, and I could only find, like, I think it was one of the pundits, you know, spreading a rumor about PayPal. I couldn't find an official statement from PayPal until after the fact, when they said, hey, this is not exactly what we were trying to put out here. So I almost wonder if there was some confusion in the release, but maybe not.
Okay, so here we are. This is from PayPal's acceptable use policy. They actually linked to the policy itself. This was reported initially in April of 2020, and this is on some sort of e-commerce website. PayPal have published updates to the PayPal user agreement, which will come into effect on the 16th of June, 2020. The most surprising change is PayPal commercial users have to agree to a $2,500 PayPal fine if they break the PayPal acceptable use policy, in addition to other limitations. Now, the original link to that policy has now been taken down or has been altered to no longer include this. This was updated because PayPal got such a such an outroar from people in the community. Now, yes, this has been online. It was online for quite some time, but it's no longer online because PayPal has completely blackholed it from the internet and they've taken it down. Now, PayPal sent this message, which admits that it had that in there. They said an AUP notice recently went out in error that included incorrect information. PayPal is not fining people for misinformation, and this language was never intended to be inserted in our policy. So that's a quote from PayPal saying that they included it in their information, even though they didn't mean to.
Oops.
Yeah. Big oops.
I'm sure you have too. I've been getting all their notices of updates to terms and service that I never freaking read because I don't have 2 hours to read their fine print. But
I don't have a PayPal account anymore. I don't know why they keep sending it to me. Same with YouTube. I get notifications from YouTube and I'm just like, why are you doing this? It's like my account exists, but they just have like a black wall over it. So I can't see it. Nobody else can see it.
Yeah, they're just trolling you.
They are trolling me, yeah. So as a result, people have been canceling their PayPal accounts in droves. I posted about this on Truth Social. I got hundreds of messages from people saying that they were canceling their PayPal. You know, obviously mine was canceled back in 2020. So, you know, it hasn't been an issue for me for a long time. But I'm glad to see that people are canceling. Now, as a result, PayPal blocked the ability for people to delete their accounts and delete their information. And now they are offering a $15 credit to people to get them to stop from closing their accounts. So clearly, they have lost so many users that this has had an effect. As a result of the people closing their accounts, that's when they came out and said, you know, we didn't mean to tell you guys that we were going to fine you. We didn't mean to put that language out. But the fact of the matter is they did put that out. Jim Kyle says, while the rest of us die, Secrets of America's Shadow Government. Check it out. Disgusting. Free on Tubi. Tubi is available on smart TVs, if I'm not mistaken. I know I've...
A human catastrophe is closing in. Nobody knows how far this one is going to go. You can feel the heat as tension is rising globally. War is expensive. Open a Noble Gold Investments IRA today, and you can claim a free 3-ounce silver American Virtue coin. Just use the promo code GOLD. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com now.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
Seen that in the menu. Yeah. So, yes, Secrets of America's Shadow Government. Sounds like a good one. Total winner.
It is. There's actually some pretty good of those kind of documentaries out there on some of those Roku channels that are actually well worth your time. Also, quick comment from chat that I see. Safe travels, Chops. Russian heavy armor has more options when ground freezes. That's a good point, Chops. Mm-hmm. I think we'll keep an eye on that going into the winter here.
Yeah, there we go. Also, you guys, Muffin is sitting in my lap, and she's not like a small dog. My chair is not really meant to include me and a dog, but like I said yesterday, we have a new dog in the house, and so my dogs are a little bit nervous about what the heck's going on. I think they think they're going to be replaced or something like that, or they have to protect me. So if you see me messing with something, I'm trying to make sure that Muffin doesn't slide off my chair. But here's my question in the chat. Is there anybody out there who has attempted to delete your PayPal account and they have stopped you from doing it? Give me a one in the chat if you have been unsuccessful, but then give me a two if you have been successful in deleting your PayPal account. And Abe, so do you actually still have a PayPal account? Like, do you have a secret one that wasn't connected to Uncensored Abe?
No, I have. I mean, for me, dude, I have been so shadow banned and so shot down from the beginning that I have to keep as many sources of income open as possible.
Of course.
I leave them all out there until they ban me, and I'm just waiting to be banned. So far, only YouTube has gotten me. But I'm sure I'm on the list here in the near future, especially after this past couple months. There's been some great support from all of you out there, and I see a lot of great patriots who have you know, either in the past or more recently deleted their PayPal accounts. Listen, this is how we have to fight this. Vote with your wallets every single day. Buy local. Don't stop buying from Amazon. Stop buying from all these companies. Buy local and do what you can to vote with your wallet.
You guys, we got to take a break for the second half of the show, but we'll be right back after this. All right, so I see a lot of people commenting in the chat. A number of people said that, yes, they have not been able to cancel their account. Other people being told it's going to take as long as a month. Keep True says, who can afford to have $2,500 in a PayPal account? I cancel mine immediately and after a decade of non-use. And I think that's the thing. They know that most people don't even have $2,500 in their PayPal account. But if you're a business and you run your transactions primarily through PayPal, because PayPal provide a credit card processing service. So you check out on a website, you use your credit card, but it runs as a clearing through PayPal. And then that money stays in the PayPal account. You pay your fees to PayPal, and then they deposit that into your business banking account. For people like that, if you are a business owner, somebody with a higher profile with greater revenue, then they actually have the possibility of taking all of the money that you have in there. Chris Schaus, good to see you, says Uncensored News, everything Uncensored News, podcast, merchandise, email and donation links at uncensoredabe.com.
Thank you, Chris. God bless you. And also real quick, thank you, your audience, man. I love our audience, man. Lou, God bless you. Rumble Pilgrim, every journey starts with one step. I got to tell you, that next step of starting over at 50 is terrifying, my friend. Mara, again, with prayers and thoughts and coffee. God bless you all.
There we go. Okay, and so, you know, next, this is also something that's been big news for the last couple of days, and I kind of just wanted your take on it real quick. I don't want to spend a lot of time on it because we have talked about it at length, but the Tulsi Gabbard situation, because she's left the Democrat Party, she's made a strong stance against it. You know, she's actually out there stumping for a GOP candidate now. I think that's good news, but I think that a lot of people are seeing this as a possible opportunity for Tulsi to siphon votes away from Donald Trump. And I never thought that that was a real possibility. I mean, I felt like people who are Donald Trump fans are not going to willy-nilly change their political association just because Tulsi Gabbard is Tulsi Gabbard. This is my take on it. We need to accept and celebrate wins where we get them. And when you have somebody who is a nationally known Democrat politician come out and say that the Democrats are the greatest threat to America, I think that that's something that can influence people to start reevaluating their stance on what their political affiliation is. So that's my take. But what's your take?
I like Tulsi in general. I'll be completely honest. I really kind of like her as a person. I think she's very well spoken. She understands the issues deeply, and you know, she's a force to be reckoned with. Anybody who takes the stand that is the right stand in this time, I think we should support her in some kind of way and say, well, thank you for, you know, thank you and Manchin and others for, you know, while I don't always agree with everything you say, thank you for standing up against the radical left. And so on that side of it, I have a lot of respect for people like Manchin, Tulsi, and even others that you know, Murkowski has been hit or miss, but on some key issues, he's been a very important blockade against the radical left policies, same with others. And so, you know, I think, you know, we get so, like you kind of said, we get so black and white on this stuff that, you know, you're either a traitor or you're a patriot, and there's no in between on this. And I'm with you on that front. However, I always look deeply at somebody's words and their policies and the stances that they hold. And when Tulsi was very active a couple of years ago on the political scene, one of the key things that is my red line as a conservative constitutional patriot and a God-fearing patriot is abortion. And if you take a stance that is not pro-life at any point in your life, I got to find it real hard for me to ever want to endorse or support you as far as for higher political office. Now, if you go right to a local area and you get your local people get you elected, and good for you. But as far as for a higher higher office, that's my red line on that. So, you know, I appreciate Tulsi very much, and I think we should support her on this, and I think we shouldn't be so black and white. But on a policy stance, I don't support Tulsi at all.
Yeah, I absolutely. You know, I'm not going to vote for Tulsi Gabbard for anything, but I will definitely celebrate her position on the Democrat Party because I think we agree on it. Now, the next story I want to talk about is something that I think is relevant to the entirety of the alternative media. And I brought this up a couple of months ago, and somebody freaked out in my chat and said that I was comparing myself to Alex Jones. Well, the only comparison to us and Alex Jones is that, you know, by and large, he is an alternative journalist. Okay, he's got a show online. We've got shows online. But that's where I think the comparisons end. But
you need to be much more angry, Zach. That would help.
So Alex Jones was just fined an additional $965 million. That's a billion freaking dollars he is now on the hook to pay the families of Sandy Hook. And the reason I bring this up is because I see this as an attempt by the mainstream and the system to cool the speech of anybody out there in the alternative media. I mean, Alex Jones, I don't think he has $965 million to pay them. This is going to bankrupt him. This might end InfoWars. Now, I know that he has done some creative stuff to the structuring of InfoWars in recent years, I think specifically because of this. But a billion freaking dollars, I mean, that is quite the statement. That's a direct warning, a shot across the bow to anybody out there who might have anything to say that is outside of the mainstream. And you better make damn sure that you're not making any claims against anybody or saying something that's going to get somebody too offended, because you might find yourself with a $1 billion defamation lawsuit. I couldn't afford that. I you know, that would be the end of me.
There's a couple of things that I think about with this, and obviously we all tend to personalize things like this, so I will, as always. He has been targeted by the apparatuses that are now being used against other people. I'll just put it that way. His wife was targeted by these people. People were put around her and in her ear in order to manipulate information. We also know, and I have been presented with a string of facts and research on any number of freaking topics over the past 5 years that I have had to spend hours and hours and hours vetting before I would go public with some of this stuff. And I have decided to not go public with some of the stuff that I have been presented because I couldn't corroborate it. And I didn't want to make inflammatory claims just for a dollar. So that being said, that's his platform. And the bigger picture of this is, you nailed it again. It's a complete attack on any kind of speech. And this is a lower court ruling so far, so I'm waiting for appeals court. And this is kind of judicial activism at a lower court level at this point. So I'm staying kind of measured in my response to if he's going to actually have to pay $1 billion. That said, you're absolutely right. The tactics that were used against Alex Jones, people, I can't stand him as a presenter.
Sure.
I don't know him personally. He's probably a good person personally. We could probably sit there and have a good conversation with him because of who he is on the screen versus who he is in person. I'm not going to make that judgment personally on him. But as a presenter, I can't stand the guy. I just think he's inflammatory, and he is purposefully divisive in the right. He pushes people to the extremes in the rights. That's not helpful for our movement. That said, he's brought a lot of information and set the ground for people like me to be able to have conversations with you about more important things as well. But the bigger picture of this is how Alex Jones was targeted. And I hope, honestly, all said and done through all of this stuff, that more of that comes out from whoever it is that's doing the targeting, because these things are not accidents. When Alex Jones's wife, he was, I saw a thing recently, you know, saying he went after his wife, and that tells you a lot about how evil these people are, man.
No, you're absolutely right. And so I think that this is something clearly that we have to continue to evaluate, but it's definitely something that's worth keeping your eyes on, because it what is their ultimate goal? Their ultimate goal is shutting us up. Their ultimate goal is stopping us from being able to say what we want to say. And they've already gone through the process of banning people, getting rid of people from platforms. So now what's left? I mean, Lawfare, you know, I mean, like we were talking last night about, in the last 2 years since getting deleted from all those mainstream platforms, we've built our own platforms. So now here we are. What are they going to do to shut us up? You know, they can only write about us so many times in the newspaper or Media Matters or cover us on CNN. But before it stops having an effect, going to court, you know, that's the last thing. I think a lot of people learn something, though, and how to present information based upon the trials and tribulations of Alex Jones. So definitely it just something to be aware of. Go ahead.
Before you move on, man, I gotta be honest. I mean, the evidence that I was presented with Sandy Hook stuff, I'll just be completely honest with you guys, was very intriguing. All right. It was laid out in a very effective way that it looked like, no doubt, crisis, at the very least, crisis actors, and something else was afoot there. I think a lot of people out there still believe that there's something not quite right about Sandy Hook.
Sure.
And somehow that discussion wasn't even allowed to be had in the mm-hmm. court. So that's why I'm kind of like, let's just not be reactionary about this. Let's see how it plays out, because it doesn't make sense to me, bro, that they wouldn't even allow it. Like Chance said, they wouldn't even allow him to defend himself.
Mm-hmm. No, it's absolutely true. I mean, I think the reason they wouldn't allow him to defend himself is because the decision was already made. Okay, like they knew what the end result was going to be. They knew that they were going to attempt to crush him and make it so that he couldn't say anything ever again. So I meant to bring this up in the context of the conversation we had earlier about the types of wins that we can celebrate and the manner in which we can celebrate them, because AOC, somebody who's been a darling of the right and was held up as this, like, you know, democratic socialist by the people of her district, is now actively being attacked by those same people that supported her before because of her kowtowing to the mainstream Democrat agenda. Warhawks, you know, it just continuing on and on. Right now, she's essentially stumping for nuclear war with Russia, right along with Joe Biden and Nancy Pelosi. She is sending untold funding and weaponry to Ukraine. And she did a Q&A in the Bronx the other day, and it was Bronxdale High School. And think about this. I mean, the people that are supporting AOC, that were supporting AOC, they were, you know, Antifa types, right? And who do they hate the most? They hate the Nazis the most. And who is fighting the war over there in the Ukraine? Well, it's the Nazis. And who is the United States and NATO supporting? They're supporting the Nazis. And so these people, come here, honey, come here.
Stop talking about Nazis. I know. Like these people.
Muffin doesn't like them. Muffin doesn't like them. So do you want to get down, honey? Come on. So they interrupted a Q&A that she was giving. Now, I absolutely support AOC getting called out, but that doesn't mean that I support these guys and their political beliefs. I will accept and celebrate the times at which the corruption and the hypocrisy of anyone in any political party is pointed out and lambasted. Let's go ahead and take a listen. If it
were Congresswoman, none of this matters unless there's a nuclear war, which you voted to send arms and weapons to Ukraine. Tulsi Gabbard, she's left the Democratic Party because there are a bunch of war hawks. Okay? You originally voted, you ran as an outsider. Yet you've been voting to start this war in Ukraine. You're voting to start a thermonuclear war with Russia and China. Why are you playing with the lives of American citizens? You're playing with our lives.
There will be no neighbors if there's a nuclear bomb. You voted to mobilize and send money to Ukrainian Nazis. You're a coward. You're a progressive socialist. Where are you against the war mobilization? He's telling the right truth. You have done nothing. Tulsi Gabbard has shown guts where you've shown cowardice. I believed in you, and you became the very thing you sought to fight against. That's what you've become. You are the establishment, and you are the reason why everybody will end up in a nuclear war unless you choose to stand up right now and denounce the Democratic Party. Will you do that? Yes or no? Okay, simple. Are you going to stop nuclear war? Yes or no? There is no line. This is bullshit. None of this matters if we're all dead. None of it. You know that. Then let's take it up right now, because this is the only thing that matters. This is the only thing that matters right now. We could be in a nuclear war at any minute, and you continue to fund it. That's what's going on. Why not right now?
All right, you get the idea. AOC has become the Democratic establishment. Everything that she fought, everything that she sought to run against, she has become the embodiment of. And it goes to show that Washington, D.C. destroys people. Okay. Any foundation that she thought she had when she went into Washington, D.C., she traded it all away. She sold her soul to the Democrat machine, and although I probably am not aligned with this guy politically, he's right. They are all essentially stumping for nuclear war instead of working with Russia, instead of reaching out across the ocean. Instead, they are fanning the flames of a conflict that doesn't need to be happening.
It's I believe his passion was very real, actually. And I think a lot of people in this country are very sick and tired of politicians saying one thing and doing another. What's up, P-Shape? God bless you, brother. I think they legitimately have the passion of being betrayed by the people that they thought would stand for their beliefs. So I think in that aspect of that, he's very legit, like you said, but I don't necessarily agree with his "we're all going to die" mentality. That says a lot about the media's ability to, and the right's ability to really fire people up for no freaking reason whatsoever. Can I just be honest with you guys? I don't make predictions, but I'm going to make this one. There will be no nuclear war.
I agree.
We'll be okay. But, okay, so let's got that first point out. Let me think. I had 3 points. Oh, you are witnessing, watching the systematic destruction of the Democrat Party. Power will be returned to the people. This is not an accident, people.
Yep. That
these people are being exposed and put out there in front of everybody to see. This is not an accident. This is why we are not crazy QAnoners. This is because all of this has been a plan in place to expose these people for who they are. It had to be this way for a very specific reason, because Americans have been walking around blinded with blinders, too busy paying bills to pay attention to what these radical left people are. Finally, can I get an investigative journalist, a commentator, a cameraman of anybody kind that is near Tulsi to please walk around with a mixology book and ask her daily how to make a Copenhagen cocktail number 2 or a brandy light or a something? Can I please, somebody please walk up to AOC and ask her for a drink for me?
So what, one important thing you said there is exactly where I was going. If we're going to see the destruction of the Democrat Party again, it's not going to be because in the courts we determined that they're illegal to be a member of them. It's got to be an organic movement. People have to leave the Democrat Party. And these people who are radical socialists, they will probably leave and start their own official party. They will no longer identify as Democrats, because the Democrats have simply become the party of war, racism, destruction, and anti-American philosophy. AOC is going to be left standing in the burning cinders of the Democrat Party, because she identifies with them and she wants to maintain that power that she's contained. But this is the way it's going to end, is people walking away one person at a time. We saw an incredible walk away with the walk away movement. OK, there was a large section of the Democrat Party that decided to break off. They became Republicans. All right. It's going to continue to happen. And this is the way that it happens. This is the organic method by which the Democrat Party will collapse amongst itself. So I like to see it. I do have some new breaking news, you guys.
It will continue. It will continue to happen, guys. And it will continue in this aspect of watching as people are finally making the stand. And so I think is the best that we can do as a community is to welcome as many that are making that stand into the community and try to, you know, everywhere else they're being shunned. So let's do our point to support them for those that are standing up.
Right on. So I have new breaking news. Okay. So following the explosions at the Nord Stream pipeline and the explosion on the Kerch Strait Bridge, Russia has just announced that they have foiled an attack on the Turk Stream pipeline, which is an oil pipeline that goes from Russia through Turkey and then into Europe. So this, I don't know how many pipelines Russia has or, you know, how many different ways they have to deliver gas and oil into the European mainland. But this would have been another massive, massive blow to their infrastructure. They said that they've arrested several people during a foiled attack on the Turk Stream gas pipeline on Russian territory. They are stepping up its security there. This carries Russian gas to Turkey. And this is, of course, following those other explosions that we saw. This is another map that they have gone ahead and put out. They have all of these things that are marked in Russian. And since I can't read Cyrillic or any of this other language, I don't know exactly what they say. But I tend to think that maybe this might be the Turk Stream pipeline right here that's in red. Looks like it also goes through the Baltic Sea. I don't know. I can't tell you which one it is, to be perfectly honest with you. But I think that this is pretty good news for the people of Europe. I mean, at least they're going to have one way to get energy into the continent. But, it's also going to give us an opportunity to determine who these saboteurs are and who they're working for.
You know, this kind of is worrisome because if this starts coming every day where you have somebody trying to cause a major incident that's, you know, could be interpreted in a very bad way that could lead to more bigger things.
Oh, totally. Yeah. These are reasons for wars to get kicked off.
Yeah. Going into the election season here, that has me kind of worried because it really seems to be ramping up. North Korea is ramping up again today, too, with South Korea. It's a crazy world out there, man. And it's, I still believe, though, that there are good people in place to stop us from falling into disaster. And so I'm going to stay strong in that. And I think you guys should, too. I think you guys should stay focused in the idea that in order for nuclear war to happen, the world, the people who own the world would have to allow the destruction of the world. I mean, it doesn't benefit them. Finally, one last thing, too. Breaking news. Nick Cruz, who shot 17 people in a former Florida high school, getting life in prison instead of the death penalty. That's just also breaking as well, bro.
Okay. All right. And somebody makes an important point over there in the Rumble chat. Tina Forte is going to replace AOC. And the only way that Tina Forte can replace AOC is if the Republicans are united behind her and the Democrats are fractured for her. So you've got people who no longer will vote for AOC because of her stances she's taken in Congress. They're going to vote for write-in candidates or for Democrat socialist candidates. Meanwhile, all the Republicans and all the people who have already left the Democrat Party because of the death and destruction that they represent, they're going to vote for Tina Forte. I would love to see Tina in Congress, and I'm looking forward to it. Okay, and finally, I think before we do the
agreed,
thank yous,
agreed as well.
Yeah. Before we do the thank yous over on the Foxhole, I had mentioned in the introduction a quid pro quo arrangement that had been revealed between Joe Biden and the Saudis. Check this out. When Joe Biden met with the Saudis and tried to get them to increase their gas and oil production, he also attempted to coerce them into dropping prices of gas and oil only until after the midterm elections. Again, clearly attempting to court votes here in America by pointing to one positive thing that he could have done. But it's been revealed that, that obviously wasn't successful. And it was actually Joe Biden that announced it when he was getting interviewed by Jake Tapper. I haven't seen this interview. I know that there was a couple of gaffes that took place, but let's go ahead and take a listen to this.
But we should, and I am in the process when the House and Senate gets back, they're going to have to there's going to be some consequences for what they've done with Russia.
What kind of consequences? Menendez says suspend all arms sales. Is that something you'd consider?
I'm not going to get into what I'd consider and what I have in mind, but there will be consequences.
The midterm.
I guess that didn't have what I thought it was going to have. But from what I saw, this is from the foreign ministry. A statement from the Ministry of Foreign Affairs regarding the statements issued about the kingdom following OPEC oil. So they're the ones who actually broke the news that they were attempted to be coerced by Joe Biden and that they're not going to be bullied around by an aging dementia patient. But this is pretty incredible stuff that it's coming out. And of course, the mainstream media is saying nothing about it. I mean, what was President Trump impeached for with the Ukrainian call, suggesting that maybe the Ukrainians should do their job and investigate crimes committed by American citizens? Yeah. Here we have Joe Biden attempting to coerce the Saudis into taking actions that will result in more favorable votes and opinions for the Democrats come November. And of course, the mainstream media is completely ignoring it.
It says a lot about Democrat ideology with regards to economics. This has always driven me nuts, bro. You can't artificially adjust the prices of a supply and demand curve. This isn't how economics works. It's the basis of economics, and Democrats can't seem to get that through their thick skulls that the economy and pricing can be controlled through supply and demand. And basically, you know, when you have a COVID thing and a bunch of supply problems happen, prices go up. And then when you cause more supply problems, prices continue to go up. And then when you limit and restrict the ability for energy to flow because you don't like black stuff coming out of the ground, I don't know what your problem is, but whatever it is, this is the result. This is all manufactured crises by Democrat globalists to put pressure on the middle class in America and to continue to not allow anybody to save a little bit of money and get ahead living past paycheck to paycheck. I hope people start to see that this is manipulation of economies in order to target the middle class. It is not an accident, bro.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And Mountain Lace, Adam Lanza. Adam Lanza was the Sandy Hook shooter, and I guess I thought that that was common knowledge, but hopefully everybody out there knows who Adam Lanza is. Go do some research on Adam Lanza. He's an interesting character, and you may see some interesting memes and photos that were made discussing his origins and potential relevance to situations such as this. Okay, listen, let's go through the thank yous over here on Foxhole. Nikki the Greek, thank you for that cookie. A. Allen Godwin's dropping some shades. Ranger Billy says, much love to you, Abe. Just Duckies dropping a cookie. Donna Bo Libby as well dropping a cookie. Patriot Bird says, hold on a second. Why is this not paused? Donna Bo Libby dropping a cookie. Patriot Bird says, thank you both for all you do. Jack McMick says, for Zach and Abe and for Zach and Abe. And Vader 369 just giving the bro fist bump. Karen Harris says, good convo, no war. I agree. Judy the Lady Pub, thank you for that cookie. And then Nakaz 808 says, last time I meant to say have Russell Gould on with John and the Devolution show. He says Devolution happened in 1999. I don't know that I have the direct line to Russell J. Gould like I used to, but I actually have somebody else connected to the, I forget what it's called, the quantum grammar. The language that was, popularized by Russell J. Gould. The original guy who came up with it, David Wynn Miller, I think his name was. He's dead. He's no longer with us, so he can't discuss it. But anyways, Abe, what do you got coming up this afternoon?
The subtlety in that was beautiful, bro. I wish I could do that. That's why you're the greatest, bro. Lou, Rumble Pilgrim, Mara, and Margaret Mary. You guys are amazing people. If you missed my drama at the beginning, please just go watch the first half. I'm sick and tired of talking about it, and I never will again. I am going to focus. I'm bringing you guys content and the best we can. All I can say is I can't get through this without you guys, and you guys have been a rock for me during this very difficult time. I can't even thank you guys enough. I look forward to getting there back out on the circuit and giving more hugs and bringing you guys more live and mobile stuff. That is going to be in the works here in the near future as well. I can't thank you guys enough. I don't even know what to say. You guys are amazing patriots. I hope you guys have all have a blessed and a wonderful day. I will be back On Monday, hopefully, my studio will all make the move just fine, back on the grind, and I support and I appreciate you guys very much. Also, other stuff hopefully coming my way in the near future as well. God bless you all. Have a great day.
All right, and thank you to Carenza, and then Filter Dog One. I'm sorry, the gold pills are already being passed out, so your donations got pushed off. But over on Buy Me a Coffee, Louise said, "You're the best. I saw you with John last night, and it was a great show. I hope to see more. Your message is so spot on. Thank you for all you do." And then Eve for America said, "Thank you, RP, with a heart. Thank you very much." Yes, every Monday night at 10 p.m. Eastern, I'll be on with John. And then also over on Cash App, let me see if there's anything there. Nothing there over on Cash App. All right, you guys, tune into Abe later on today. I'll be back later on this evening with Red Pill News. Until next time, good luck and God bless. We'll see you tonight.
Back on Monday, guys. Much love.
Oh, back up. Sorry.